This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley.
Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. It's September. Before I say hello to you, September, I have to say thank you to August. The last weeks of August were particularly beautiful. And then, of course, there were the tomatoes and the basil. Our garden gave us some nice tomatoes and a pile of basil. The garden actually grows out of the old oil tank. Did I ever tell you this? I had nothing to do with this. My husband replaced the oil tank in the basement a few years ago. So the old monstrosity oil tank was pulled up and into the backyard. That looked weird. And my husband wondered how he was going to dispose of this enormous oil tank. And then I had one of my ideas. I said, why don't you cut the tank in half longwise and then flip them open? Now we have two long troughs, and we can fill them up with dirt, and we've got two raised bed gardens. And we did this, and it doesn't even look that weird. We put tomatoes in one, and we put basil in the other, and it works. So if for a minute you pictured me gardening in a normal garden, reframe that. I have an oil tank garden. So thank you, August. The tomatoes and the pesto were an elixir for my soul. Because I am seeking comfort. My soul has a huge case of the chuckets. I recorded this show last week, and then I said to Frank and Barry, I can't air the show because I sound crazy. So please repeat a show and let me give this another shot. And I'm sure he thought, you sound pretty crazy on all your shows.
Yeah, that did run through my mind. And also, why you want to mess with a good thing? Crazy works for you.
But I know, Frank and Barry, you were also happy to have one less thing to mix down going into the Labor Day holiday weekend.
Okay, I'll give you that. And a thank you, by the way.
So let me take another shot at this in a more positive light from the beginning. I don't know if it's the sun, the moon, the stars, but I have myself a serious case of the chuckets. I need to stop striving. I need to stop working so hard. This started, I don't know, about a month ago, something inside me shifted and I just stopped. I stopped working hard at everything. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not making any life major announcements here. Maybe I am. Maybe you are too. I actually put a sticky note on my computer at work that says, my name is Chuck. That is to remind me that Chuck does not give a cluck. Have you been there? I have been on a carousel of change and learning and growing. And while all of that is lovely, there is little comfort on this carousel. The uncomfortable feeling that comes from a carousel of change is something I wanted to distance myself from. So I am done caring so much. I am done working so hard. I am just going to eat tomato sandwiches and let the gods handle everything else. You know what I miss? Frank and Barry, you'll get this. I miss teamwork. There is a beautiful thing working in radio. Everybody helps you out a little bit. You'll remember this, Berries. How many times did you say to me, hey, can you stop by after your shift? I just need you to record a few lines for this commercial. Sure. Or can you look at this copy and tell me what you think? Can you make it better? Or can you cover my last hour on the air? I have to go to an appearance. Or something came up. Can you cover my appearance, please? And I'll owe you one. In radio, at least where I worked in radio, there was always that feeling that someone had your back, that it was a team. One of my radio friends, Sharon, got married recently to Paul, and it was a great and beautiful wedding, and there were many old radio friends there. And I got a wave of the blues, like, dang, I miss this easy kind of camaraderie. I am so tired from trying to be new businesswoman, Casey. Old Radio Casey had it pretty easy. And then a stranger sent me a book in the mail. I have it right here. The book is by Adam Grant, and the title is The Hidden Potential, The Science of Achieving Great Things. Came in the mail, out of the blue. A woman I'd met at a business meeting in July sent me this book with a note. Would love to get together. And my first thought was, no.
I don't want to get together. I don't want to meet new people. I don't want to read this book. I don't want any new ideas. I just want to eat tomato sandwiches next to my oil tank garden in the backyard.
Now listen, I know I'm not alone in this. At work the other day, I passed Audrey in the hall. Oh, Audrey gets me. I get Audrey. And she said, Casey, I just listened to another podcast about reinventing myself. Audrey said, I'm so sick of reinventing myself. And I said, I hear you. Let's stop striving. When I was preparing for the Shine On retreat that we had in August, we had a conversation about retreating at the retreat, slowing down, stopping. And I read what I think is part of Psalm 96. I should have looked that up, but you'll know it. It's the phrase, be still and know that I am God. In my preparation for the retreat, I researched and I found a translation of that phrase that says, stop striving and know that I am God. Now, when I read that version at the retreat while we were sitting in a circle, there was an instant gasp and then a sigh, stop striving, and then a little murmuring like, yeah, I want me some of that. I want me some of that. Stop striving. So why don't you just try it right now? Let your brain and your body stop striving and just be. We women, we have a universal sign for this, a universal action. It's walking in the house, unhooking your bra with one hand, and then pulling it out of your sleeve with the other hand. Amen. The day is over. I will exhale and let myself stop striving. Yes, guys, that's how the bras end up in weird places. Okay? Well, that's one of the reasons why bras end up in weird places. Brene Brown, I love you. I really do. You were the first to put it in a bumper sticker. We can do hard things. We can do hard things. But you know what? We don't have to keep choosing the hard things all the time. I think that's what Audrey was saying that day in the hall. I am exhausted from trying to be better, stronger, faster, newer. What if we all stopped striving? And what if we tried to live a little fuller? What if we stop striving to be more and maybe open our hearts to hold more, starting with more compassion for ourselves, right? I've always said the purpose of this Shine On show was to find tools to live better because we need to be our strongest and best for this world. We need to be our healthiest mentally and physically for the ones we love and for our own selves. But I want to join the, I don't want to join the not enough club. I don't want to join that club. I don't want to join the you're doing it wrong club, right? Turn on social media. Everybody's trying to teach me something. I want to join the club that says, this is who I am right now, and it's going to have to be okay. Stop selling me cleanses and practices and mantras. Just let me sit here in the backyard with my tomato sandwiches and be. So I feel like this revolution of Chuck It has also been building on the internet for some time. If you just Google the We Don't Care Club, you've probably seen it, started by a menopausal woman at Just Being Melanie. I love you, Melanie. It is now an international movement with women posting every day things they no longer care about. We will no longer be shamed about arm fat. It happens. We don't care about going to the family reunion. If it's too hot out, we're not going. We don't care if our bra, underwear, and socks don't match. We don't care. We don't care if you're hungry. We did not lock the kitchen. Oh, Melanie, I adore you. Thank you so much. And then there's Anna. Have you seen Anna? Prisky, I think. She runs around her backyard on social media in her pajamas with tongs, kitchen tongs, and sometimes a whisk, and she bangs on the random things that have been abandoned in her yard. I'm telling you, my oil tank garden would go really well in Anna's backyard. She's got old lawnmowers and refrigerators out there. Anyway, she runs around her backyard, literally in her pajamas with her belly hanging out, and she just bangs on things and sort of screams, sings all the encouragement we need to hear while rolling down a hill like a kid. And she tells us that life is hard and we keep showing up and we can't worry about the days when we feel off. Just let it be.
And then she sings, "Keep it up, cutie, because I'm so freaking proud of you." She is such great mental health encouragement. So these are my new heroes, Anna and Melanie and the women who are speaking up like Audrey to say, I don't want to reinvent myself right now. Just want a tomato sandwich. That's my new normal. So I just read an article in Harvard Business Review, and I think we can all just insert a laugh right here. Why was I reading Harvard Business Review? I don't know. I don't even know how I found it. But anyway, the article says everyone deserves a season to step back. It says if we're expected to give 110% all the time at the office or wherever, you can also enter the season of stepping back for growth and for purpose and for identity and to avoid burnout. I'm in my tomato sandwich season. Christina Wallace wrote this article in February of this year. Harvard Business Review, everyone deserves a season to step back. Check it out. Christina, I'm with you. Take a season, not a minute, take a season to step back from friendships that drain, from the aspects of your job you can't control. Maybe you don't have to go to every meeting. Science is now saying meetings make people dumber. Oh, we'll talk about that one day soon. Do what you must, but stop striving. Where you are right now is a pretty cool place, cutie. So I remember two special moments during my radio days when this idea became clear to me. One moment was driving to the Best of Westchester party. For the third year, I was voted best DJ. And I thought, wow. If I set out to accomplish anything in radio in my home county of Westchester, I think I may have just done that. If there is a pinnacle for the local hometown radio girl, this might be it. And I took my foot off the gas, not in the car at that moment, but on the radio. I just started to have fun with the listeners. I stopped striving and allowed myself to be present. And it changed everything, made life so much richer, so much fuller. And then another special moment was watching Ted Lasso. Did you ever watch Ted Lasso? You know the character Roy Kent? Roy was the aging soccer player who retired and then took up coaching. When someone asked him about retiring from the game, his character said, "I wish I stayed on one more year and just enjoyed it more. I wish I stayed on one more year and just enjoyed it more." That helped me tremendously. Roy Kent reminding me again to stop striving, just enjoy it. Sidebar, Roy is played by Brett Goldstein. He also wrote the comedy series Shrinking, another great show. Jason Segel, Harrison Ford, Brett wrote himself into the second season. Season 3 is coming to Apple TV, and I just read Michael J. Fox is going to play a part on the show, and that's going to be great. And Michael J. Fox can teach us lessons about striving, right? I'm sure he could, but there is something to be said for not striving at times. Just like every other good idea in life, we do it for a while, and then if you're like me, we get off course and need to be reminded again. That day, Audrey found me in the hall. She spoke the words that were in my head. I am so tired of trying to make a hard thing better. I'm so tired of learning to be more this and more that and meet the demands of a far too challenging situation. I need an adjustment. A very few days later, this book arrived in the mail at work on my desk. Total surprise. Now, when I worked on the radio, I would get books delivered all the time, every day. Big, fat, hard-covered books with notes from publishers. Hey, let's set up an interview with this author. But COVID took all of that away. All the authors went and got their own podcasts, so they didn't need me anymore. So getting a brand new book in the mail was a thrill. And as I mentioned, the book was from someone I met at a Chamber of Commerce breakfast. What a wonderful gesture. Adam Grant, in his New York Times bestseller, Hidden Potential, examines an aspect of discomfort that I have been trying to escape. He looks at the science of achieving great things, and at the core is the feeling of discomfort. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Okay, from the book. In a clever experiment, psychologists Caitlin Woolley and Ailit Fishbach studied hundreds of people taking improv comedy classes and randomly assigned them to focus on different goals. The ones who persisted the longest and took the most creative risks weren't the ones who were encouraged to focus on learning. They were the ones who had been advised to intentionally pursue discomfort. Quote, your goal is to feel awkward and uncomfortable. It's a sign the exercise is working, the instruction said. Once people saw discomfort as a mark of growth, they were motivated to stretch beyond their comfort zones. It worked for political rivals, too. We usually try to motivate Democrats and Republicans to escape their echo chambers by urging them to seek new information. But in the research, if partisans were nudged to seek discomfort instead, they were more likely to download articles from across the aisle. When discomfort is a signal of progress, you don't want to run away from it. You want to keep stumbling toward it to continue growing. Oh, Shazam. The very feeling I have been trying to avoid and protect myself from could, in fact, be the path that takes me toward self-mastery. Adam Grant shares personal stories in the book, including how feedback helped him go from a terrible TED Talk, from a terrible TED Talk speaker, onto being a champion with billions and millions of views of his TED Talks. And he shared a lesson from a coach in high school. This one really stayed with me. Adam wanted to be on the dive team, and the coach told him, like, dude, you've got no talent and you kind of walk like Frankenstein and you need to be graceful. So this isn't for you at all. But the coach said, you know, I'm not turning you away. If you want to be on this team, I will help you. And this was a huge change in young Adam's life. He writes about it in the book. By the way, his coach's name was Eric, so this will make more sense in a second. Extensive evidence shows that it's having high personal standards, not pursuing perfection, that fuels growth. Many people interpret that advice to shift from be the best to do your best. But aiming for your best is not the best alternative. Across hundreds of experiments, people who are encouraged to do their best perform worse and learn less than those who are randomly assigned to goals that are specific and difficult. Listen to this. Do your best is the wrong cure for perfectionism. It leaves the target too ambiguous to channel effort, engage momentum. You're not sure what you're aiming for or whether you've made meaningful progress. The ideal foil for perfectionism is an objective that's precise and challenging. It focuses your attention on the most important actions and tells you when enough is enough. Here's the bit. Eric, his coach, told me that when announcers rave about dives getting perfect tens, that's a mistake. There's no such thing as a perfect dive. Even in the Olympic judging rules, a 10 doesn't stand for perfection. A 10 stands for excellence. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to aim for a clear, high target. I'm going to say that again. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to aim for a clear, high target. And Adam goes on to write, beating yourself up doesn't make you stronger. It leaves you bruised. I think that's what we've been talking about, feeling bruised. Being kind to yourself isn't about ignoring weaknesses. It's about giving yourself permission to learn from your disappointments. We grow by embracing our shortcomings, not by punishing them. Make it feel wrong. Make it feel wrong. He writes that in italics. Make it feel wrong. Okay, I still have half a book left to read. Adam Grant, Hidden Potential, The Science of Achieving Great Things. But this random lesson that arrived unexpectedly in the mail has been a great education. Growth can feel wrong, uncomfortable, and unpleasant. And if we let it, it can drain us of the strength and energy we need to keep moving forward. My human tendency is to want things to feel comfortable and safe, but growth feels wrong. It feels weird. It's uncomfortable. And when we say, the heck with it, it's just too darn much, we need to get back on the horse eventually, because we could be stopping too soon. A breakthrough could be just ahead. As Adam writes, progress is not only reflected in the peaks you reach, it's also visible in the valleys you cross. Resilience is growth. So let's take a minute and just bring to mind some of the valleys we have crossed recently. Just take a minute and bring to mind some of your successes, some of the things you accomplished. Okay, fine, Adam Grant, but I am still not leaving this house until we run out of tomatoes and pesto. And when we do, I'm going to call that nice lady who sent me this book, and we're going to get together for coffee, and I can tell her how this book came at just the right time when I was deep in my case of the chuckets and not wanting to move forward. I've said many times we are angels to each other. This woman sending me this book at this time, that's a little Shazam, don't you think? Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show. I hope you will keep in touch and we can see each other anytime at caseysplace.com. Our thought for the day is from Adam Grant, who wrote this new book. He wrote, seek discomfort. Instead of striving to learn, aim to feel uncomfortable. Pursuing discomfort sets you on a faster path to growth. If you want to get it right, it has to first feel wrong. Ooh, shine up.